legacy. But the Bible reads like this. It says, then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses and Aaron. So God is giving instruction to Moses and Aaron, who were the spiritual leaders, the priests, the pastors. Much like today, I'm giving instruction from the Word of God. And this is what he instructed them to do. I want you to notice, check this out. It says, when the Israelites set up camp, okay, in other words, when they decide to dwell there, he said, each tribe will be assigned its own area. In other words, there's an assignment for your family on where it should live. We'll talk about that later. It says, the tribal divisions will camp beneath, watch this here, their what? Their family banners. I want you to notice that God was like, every family is going to have a banner. And your family is going to know not just where to live, but what to come up under to have God's blessing. Say with me, family banner. It says, on all four sides of the tabernacle, but some at a distance from it. God was like, there's a family banner. There's something your family is supposed to rally around, is supposed to identify, that it shows the world this family has a family banner and we're a part of God's kingdom. Come on, somebody. And this banner, I want to talk to you today, because the question is, are we raising a family banner? And I want to talk to the dads, but all of us today. I want to message I've entitled Raising Your Family Banner. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, this morning, as we celebrate Father's Day, the Bible tells us to honor fathers, but help us, Lord, to encourage dads, because we know being a dad is not an easy job. So many attacks, so many things come against men today's day and age, Father. And God, I ask that today this message would build up men, because your word is not to beat us up, it's to build us up. So Father, speak to us as fathers, as men. Speak to the women and how to partner with their husbands to raise a family banner that would bring generational blessing, not generational burden. God, help us to celebrate manhood as a church, to empower strong men. And Father, today let us remember that you, our Heavenly Father, gives us the example to become who we're called to be. We don't want to live with excuses. We don't want to live with victimization. We want to live with a victory mentality. Amen. That you've given us all that we need in your word, through your presence, to be the men and women you've called us to be. So today, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shout, amen. Come on, give God a clap. You may be seated. And if there's a dad next to you, just tell him, you rock, dad. Tell him that. And if you're married, you don't have kids yet, but you're married and your husband's next to you, just say, you're my papi. That's all right. Go ahead. Sorry. That was for the marriage conference. All right. Amen. But I want to talk today about a family banner, okay? A family banner. And how this pertains specifically to men, and even more specifically to fathers. And I want all of us to lean in. You know, today I'm going to talk to the men, to the fathers, but this doesn't mean, you know, ladies, tune out, because you play a pivotal role in the success of fatherhood, in supporting the dad, not fighting against the dad. I got no amens right there. Amen. Come on. Come on, somebody. We have a good time today. Trust me. It's going to be great. But women, you know, you play a pivotal role to the success of the father being the father. You were to empower, work hand in hand in that. And also, kids, don't jump on your cell phones right now, okay, and be like, oh, it's just for the dads. No, this is for all of us, because children, you play an important role to how you are fathered. Amen, right? And so we're going to talk about that, because it's God's design. It is his design for the family nucleus to have a legacy of perpetual blessing from generation to generation. But I don't need to convince you, the family in today's day and age is under attack. Yeah. Families are under attack, being bombarded from every angle, being bombarded from media, social media, opinions, this and that. But it was God's design when he wanted to bless this world. Okay, 5 days he creates this world, the sun, the light, the animals, the ocean, the fish and the sea, the plants, the trees. And when God wanted to bless this earth, he made Adam, and then he made Eve, and he made the family to bless this world. In other words, families are to be a blessing to this world. And so when God wanted to create a family, he got a male and a female, because there's only two genders, a male and a female. Can I get a better amen? Come on, somebody. A male and a female to have children, because only a male and a female can have children. Okay, no other relationship can reproduce. So male and female gets together, they have children because there's only two genders. I got to reinforce that in today's day and age, Genesis chapter 1, biblically speaking. And so you have male and female, they make a family, and God says this family is to be a blessing to this world. So the family wasn't to be a burden to the world. It was like, this is supposed to be what carries the blessing. And today, like I said, the family is under attack. It's been under attack, you know, from the inside out. And I've always said this, if we're going to see this world change, don't worry about the White House, worry about your house. Can I get a better amen? Okay. So now we're going to pray for the White House. We're going to pray for, you know, and presidencies and nations. But you know, the people are more opinionated about what's going on in that house, and you don't even know what's going on in your house. Come on. Ooh, that's okay. Happy Father's Day. Come on, somebody. So, right, we have to focus on our house, right? What's going on in our home, our marriage, our kids, particularly to fathers. Now, as I mentioned, there are different roles in the family, and fathers are God-given gifts. No, wow, okay. Fathers are God's given gifts to the family. I'm going to put a good amen right there, okay? And we have to really speak to that, because I know what some of us think, well, you know, this. Fathers are God's given gift to this world. And I want to tell all the kids, listen to me, there are no perfect dads. Ask me why. Because there's no perfect kids. Come on, dads, just say, that's right. See, that's why you want to come to Father's Day service when Pastor Josiah's preaching, okay? There's no perfect dads. So before you say, you know, my dad, you're not a perfect kid. In fact, you're a very difficult one. Praise God, okay? And that's why he's grumpy. Anyway, so you crashed the car. Why? I would be grumpy too, okay? So there's no perfect kids. And there's no perfect wives. Amen. No man said amen right there. You see that? He's like, I don't know what he's talking about, honey. I don't know what he's talking about. So there's no perfect moms. There's not, right? There's no such thing as a perfect mom. So the Bible tells us that we're to lend the same grace that we want for our lives, the same compassion, the same forgiveness, right? And so a family only works, this is not your first point, but it only works when there's forgiveness for everybody. Let me tell you the greatest gift you can give your dad today. The greatest gift you can give your dad today is not a pair of Newmans, okay? Buy him Nikes, by the way, okay? Get him something nice, okay? Don't be like, here, dad, we got you another power tool so you can fix things. We'll talk about that in a second, okay? Right? No, bless him, okay? But let me tell you the greatest gift you give your dad today. The greatest gift you give your dad today is forgiveness. Grace. Give him grace. Give him forgiveness. Say, thank you for fighting to be a father. Because it's not easy. It's not easy. How many know it's easy to be a Monday quarterback? Right? Well, see what you should have done. You should have passed it. He was wide open, right? But it's different when you're in the game. Okay, it's difficult. It's a fight to be a father. How do I know that? Because I'm one. Okay, I'm one. And I got four little minions in my house. Come on, somebody. They're blessings. They're blessings. I know. How could he say that? Okay, they're blessings. But they have a sinful nature, right? And so it's a fight. And I'm just going to say, if your dad is in church today, I'm not saying what conditions, just the fact that he's in church today, he's among the 1%. He's the 1%. I'm going to clap right there. I'm going to clap right there. He's the 1%, because so many dads didn't even walk into church today. They walked in somewhere else. But you ought to thank God and say, man, I love my dad. No, he's not perfect, because I'm not perfect, you know? But thank God he's in the house of God. And so that's one of the things you can give your father. But the father does have a responsibility. And being a father, it takes work. It takes a whole gamut of things. And manhood is under attack. And I'm going to give you your first point here in a second. Just my opening thoughts to empower the family. Because one thing at Freedom House, my prayer is always, is God, give us strong families. Lord, let there be strong families at Freedom House, God. Let there be strong homes at Freedom House. God, let there be strong men, strong women, strong children, marriages, raising up world-changing kids, prosperous, you know, taking territory, going from blessing to blessing, strength to strength. That's my prayer. And so I will spend the rest of my life teaching to see families be empowered, because I'm tired of seeing the devil rip off families. Why? Because I was raised in a family that was ripped off by the devil. And I said, devil, you're going to have to pay back 7 times. We're going to see blessing up in this thing. Come on, somebody. Where my man at? In Jesus' name. Okay? And so there's an attack on families. Now I'm going to zoom in a little bit more here. There's even an attack on masculinity. Okay? There's an attack on masculinity. I'm going to go a little deep. Just stay with me here. But we have a generation that celebrates the love of a matriarch, a feminine love, but they don't understand masculinity. So we have a generation that's trying to make, is trying to make men more feminine. Oh, come on. I told you. Turn down the AC to 60. It's going to get hot in here. It's going to get hot in here today. They want to make men feminine. No. We need you to get in touch with your feminine side. No, I don't want to get in touch with my feminine side. I need men to get in touch with their masculine side. Come on, somebody. We don't need feminine men. We need manly men. We need men. Right, don't try to make him passive. God made him a lion. We need that lion to come out. And we need some men up in the house of God that are masculine men. Come on, where are my masculine men at? Shout amen. So don't be like, Pastor, no, Pastor, calm him down. Don't say that, because you're going to go home thinking he's the man. Well, he is a man. Again, one amen. A few other guys are scared. No, come on, it's all right. Now, of course, be a godly man, but thank God you're a man. So we need to celebrate, because masculinity is under attack. They want to make men feminine. No. We need men to be men and women to be women, right? But we're not afraid of strong men, just like we're not afraid of strong women. So we thank God for men. We want to raise up strong men in the house of God. Right? Men that are the lion God created you to be. And to love it. In fact, all the fellas, thank God you're a man. Come on, men, let me hear you say it. Say, thank God I'm a man. That's right. Ladies are like, am I at a men's meeting? What's going on? Yeah. It's Father's Day. Thank God you're a man. Thank God you're a man. Praise God, God made you a man. Now it's time to man up. Now it's time to be that godly man. Now it's time to step up. Come on, somebody, and have responsibility. Shout amen. Come on, somebody. Raise our sons in this life. But masculinity is under attack. And I want to say God's gift works best when the men are men and the women are women. The fathers are fathers and the mothers are mothers. We're not trying to make women men. Women, fiercely feminine. We thank God for your femininity. And when are we going to talk about the ladies? Fiercely Feminine Conference coming up. And register for that, okay? But today, fellas, there's a gift God gave us. Fathers and also men. Now, it's possible, okay? I'm going to get to my first point here in a second. It's possible to not understand both roles, because many of us, we became husbands and then quickly took on another role of being a father. And those are two different roles. You can be a good husband and not be a good father. You can be a good father and not be a good husband. Just like you can be a good mom but not be a good wife. I told you. Ooh, campus safety. Be ready, okay? Come on. Because moms, you play a role in the success of his fatherhood. Yes. Amen. And if you're not careful, you will be a great mom, but you're not a good wife and you're not empowering his fatherhood. Because what you do is, as soon as it gets hot up in the house, you rally all the kids around you and away from the father. Ooh, hallelujah. It's going to get good in here. Oh, thank you, Lord. Good preaching, Pastor. And now there's division in the house. Because in order to be a good mother, actually, you have to learn how to be on the same page with the father. Because there's an order to this thing. There's an order to this thing. Now, like I said, right about now, people start getting nervous. Like, what is he doing? What is he doing? I'm giving you Bible talk. Because right away, we start looking at the deficiencies of people instead of the calling of people. Amen? And so what God does in the verses we just read is God says, listen, my kids, he says, and let's go to Numbers. Let's read it from the Bible, because what's taking place is God is establishing his people to have a back to a creational dominion, back to a generational blessing. He's given them a land of their own. And he says, when the Israelites go to set camp, he says, each tribe will be assigned its his own what? Its own what? Area, right? So it's on the screen. We're going to put it on the screens here, but it's going to assign its own area. In other words, God's like, every family has an assigned area. What is your family assigned area? It's where you live right now. That's your assigned area. It's your address. But more, but even it goes bigger than that, that God wants to assign your family a mission field, an area. Like, he'll assign you to a city. He'll assign you to a territory and say, this is where I'm going to raise your, I want your family to establish my kingdom and be blessed both spiritually and physically to establish his kingdom. You have to know where your family's called. Like, for me, it's simple. Silva family, we are called to Southern California. This is the area. This is our mission field. This is where we're going to raise world-changing kids. This is where we're going to establish the glory of God. This is where we're going to see generational blessing. Come on, talk to me, amen. And you as a father, or as God's people, we have to say, okay, this is where we're going to build roots. This is where God called our family to serve in this place, to establish roots. And some of you, you have been a product of that blessing. I got to be careful how I say this, but you've been a product of a family that has done that and has passed you generational blessing, because they have roots in places. They're not always, you know, just floating all the time. So some of you, you have roots, and that's a blessing. Like, you got friends for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. You know, you have a community of family. So it's in that area. Please put that verse back up there, Numbers. And he says, you're assigned an area. I wish I had more time to talk about this, but just know this, that God wants your family to be assigned. Okay? God calls families. Amen. Okay, he says in this area, he says the tribal divisions will camp, and watch this here, they will camp beneath their what? Their family banners. Oh my Lord, I can't wait to get into this. He's like, they're gonna camp, he says, under the family banner. In other words, he was saying that your tribe, your family, okay, he's like, it is going to be recognized by your family banner. That every family has its unique banner that the family is to rally around in times of war and in times of expansion. That we are, as men, fathers in this house, he's like, you're to have a banner so that when you lift that banner, your kids and your family go, that's us. That's our identity. That is who we are. It's heavy stuff. Like I told you, I've been marinating this thing, so this is like good, okay? It's supposed to identify. Now, context, for those that really like the deep, the meat and potatoes of the word, write this down. This is just, let's go a little deeper here. In context, there were four banners the nation of Israel would put up. They would put up first, the tribe of Judah would have, they would put a lion up. Their banner was a lion. And those tribes would gather because they would see the lion. The lion was a representation of strength, okay, of power. The tribe, other tribes would put up an ox. And the ox was a picture of workers, a worker. And because the God's people were to be workers, they're to multiply the land. We're not lazy people. We're people that develop and multiply and expand. Come on, somebody. Like, because it was a banner of an ox. They would also, then the next banner was a banner of a man. It'd be like a picture of a man. And this was a representation of the brilliance, the intelligence of a man. And it was like when they would put out, they would call them the intelligence. And then the fourth banner they'd put up was a banner of an eagle. And this was a representation of a majestic majesty. Why? Because God's people are supposed to soar above the storms. We're supposed to go, come on, to higher places. We're supposed to go, come on, to the city on a hill. And so all these four banners was, write this down, this is not your first point, it was an identity. It was a family identity that the family knew, this is who we are. When the banner would go up, they would put it up, these four things. And when they would put up this banner, who do you think God wanted to raise this banner? The fathers, the men. Come on, fathers. He was like, and when it comes, fathers, raise these banners. So the kids and the family know where to run and what is the, like some of your King James Version will say standard. What is the standard that we live by? Raise that banner, the fathers. So I started thinking, how many kids are looking for a banner that hasn't been raised? Oh my God. Because if we don't raise the banner, the family will run to other banners. They don't know their identity. So they grow up confused about their future, their values, their gender, their who they're called to be. And there's a confusion. Why? Because they don't know where the banner is. Where's the banner? Okay, let's go a little deeper. It's gonna get gooder. Those four pictures, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. If you go just cross-reference, I don't have time. If I only had time, okay? You're like, you do every Sunday, Pastor, and you run out of it. I know. Okay, just write Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 10. You read the prophecy of those four banners, what they really were a picture of. Like, why a lion? Why an eagle? Why a man? Why an ox? It reveals to us prophetically, Ezekiel was actually prophesying Jesus. Because the lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus. Because the ox represented the one who would do the work of God on this earth, Jesus. The man represented the Son of Man. Oh my God. And lastly, the eagle represented the majesty of who Jesus was. And it was actually a picture of Jesus that each family, each man was to raise the banner of the standard of Jesus for their family. Jesus for my family. So you know what I gotta do. You know how to do it. I had to do it. Come on, son. I had to do it. I told the team, get me a flag. And so, right, kids, families, this generation, there's so much attack going on. And I know there's attack going on. And let me tell you something. Don't be surprised when the devil's attacking, because that's what the devil does. The devil's going to attack. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm praying against it. I put a post on all the nonsense they're doing. You know, Dodgers, get it together, okay? Get it together, all right? Going on record here? Yeah, get it together. You know, they're mocking our faith. Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I get fired up too. Okay, I'm like, man, what's going on here, man? You know, and trying to mock my Jesus, and I get fired up. But can I tell you something? You can yell all you want, but are you picking up your banner? Are you picking up your banner? Because it's easy to be like, you know what their problem is? You know what their problem is? I'm not poking at you over there, talking to you guys. But you know them and them over there and them over there. And you know, did you hear the craziness over here? And you can do all that. And all your kids are going, yeah, there's a bunch of crazy things. But who are we? Who are we? What is this house? And my prayer today is we're going to get some men up in this house. They're going to say, I'm going to pick up my family banner and make it very clear that as for me and my house, we are gonna serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we are gonna honor God. Why? Because you're gonna come up under this banner, which is the banner of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the one who is victorious. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, I've been waiting to preach this message. Might carry this around all day. See me at the restaurant. There goes Pastor Josiah. I mean, this thought. He says, each pick up their family banner. What's your family banner? What's your family identity? Who is your family? Who are you guys? We're the, okay, that's great. But what's your family banner? Because God said the fathers, the men, were to pick up this banner. Yeah. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, what if, let me talk to the men in the room, okay? We're to pick this up. Nobody else can pick this up for your family. I am the pastor of this church, but you are the priest of your home. I'm not the pastor of your house. Like, let me know. I'm the pastor, I'm there to pray for you, but you're the priest of your home. You have to pick up your family banner. Does that make sense? Because I'm picking up my family banner, and it's heavy. There's generations of men that didn't pick up the family banner. So point number one, write this down. Why do we pick up the family banner? Why? Pastor, why all that? Why? Let me tell you what. Because a legacy father will make it his life goal to have God's hand on his family. That's the goal, guys. Fellas, that's the goal. Is to have God's hand over our family. God, in fact, let's just pray this. Say, Heavenly Father, let your hand be on my family. That's right. On my kids. On my daughter. Yes, Lord. Let your hand of protection be over my daughters, over my home. So I'm going to wave my banner to make it very clear. The Silva family, we know who we belong to. Then he says this, and I want to make sure I reference this, because he says each family, go back to Numbers chapter 2 and 2. It's a great scripture. He says, the divisions will camp beneath their family banners on all four sides of the tabernacle. So I want you to notice, he says, but some at a distance from it. He's like, that the families were going to be spread out, but all around the tabernacle, the presence of God, God's house, the Father's house. Because it was to be like, the centerpiece of a family was we worship God. So like, this is our, it's God's house, but it's where we bring our families, each of their own tribe. Does that make sense? We all bring us our banners, our families together into the tabernacle, but the house of God was the center of the family. So like, that's why God first on Sunday, and then the rest of the week work. Because the family honors the house of God. Amen. And we make it clear to our children. And it said at a distance, though. Y'all can't move into the church, though, okay? Notice it says at a distance. So you live at your house, okay? Okay. But you come here to worship. It was the centerpiece of a family. Why? Because we are establishing, God, let your hand of blessing be over my family. The blessing of the Silva family is not in Josiah's hand. It's in the hand of God on this family. So no matter how hard my hand works, it doesn't matter if God's hand is not on my family. Because if it's only my hand that's keeping it up, then my hand has to fight everything, and this hand can't change everything. But if you ever get God's hand on your family, I said, if you ever get God's hand on your family, if you ever get God's hand on your kids, if you ever get God's hand on your grandkids, when you ever get just God's hand of blessing, that hand will open doors your hand cannot open. That hand will chase those kids down when they try to run. Oh, yeah. Come on. Some of you know the hand of God got you. That's why it got me. Look at me. I'm like, I'll never serve God. I'm going to preach you now. So the crazier you go, the more God's going to get you, just so you know. I'm saying, yeah, this is truth. And this stuff is the way, why? Because, come on, somebody. We're raising a banner. I'm picking up the family banner. I'm picking this up. And this is what the Bible says. Jump to Deuteronomy. Why? I just want to bring the why. Well, Pastor, why? Why are we doing this? Why? To make a statement politically? No. It's biblically, and it's the blessing of God on our family. Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. And so the Bible says here, oh, that they would always have hearts like this, that they might fear me and obey all my commands, the Lord says. Because if they did, they and their descendants, what does the Bible say, would what? How long? How long are they going to prosper? Your descendants are going to prosper forever. That means your kids, kids, kids are going to prosper because of the banner you're establishing in your family, that we fear the Lord, we obey his commands, and this family is a family that belongs to God. your descendants will prosper. And I always got to say this because, are you one of those prosperity preachers? No, I'm a Bible preacher. The Bible said your descendants are going to prosper forever. I didn't say that. God said that. And so it always makes me laugh. What do you want? Your kids to be poor forever? No, God said they're going to prosper forever. And that prosperity is in every dimension. You can clap right there. Amen, amen, amen. May my kids prosper. Amen. So they can pay my bills when they grow up. I'm saving receipts. Come on, I'm joking. All right. Okay. But the point is that God says when you fear him, he's going to put a blessing on your kids. Say amen. Amen. And this is something that we establish as men, as fathers, okay? We pick it up. Point number two, write this down. I got to move quick. Is a legacy father will fight for his family. We got to fight. We're going to fight for our families. We're going to do this, okay? And I'm just going to read this one scripture here, and then I'm going to move on. I don't have too much time to spend on this one. But here, let's go to Nehemiah 4:12 through 14. Watch what the Bible says here. It says, then the Jews who lived near them came. Book of Nehemiah is where they rebuilt the walls. It said, came and told them 10 times. How many times? So 10 times they said, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So they were in fear. And this is very similar to today where you might be trying to rebuild your family walls with things of God. And there's attacks coming from the enemy in every direction through media, through movies, through school. But let me tell you, don't be a fearful parent. Don't be a paranoid parent, okay? You need a parent with faith, knowing that the promise of God says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and that God is going to raise your kids to be, come on somebody, to have had the blessing and the fear of God in their life, okay? So don't be that we're going to be cautious, we're going to protect them, but we know that we have a promise from God. Say amen. So when we raise the banner, our family, we have the promise of God on our family, okay? There's a blessing. Watch this. Therefore, he says, I stationed some people behind the lowest points of the wall. And he says, exposed the places, posting them by families, by what? Family. Right? So he put all the families with their swords, spears, and bows. Watch verse 14. And after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. He says, and fight for your sons. He says, fight for your sons and fight for your daughters and fight for your wives and fight for your homes. We are raising a family standard or a family banner because we're going to fight for our families. I'm going to raise this because if we don't raise the right banner, they might run to the wrong flags and banners. Okay? And they're trying to rip off God's rainbow and put up flags and other banners. Okay? So I'm going to raise God's banner to make it very clear that as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. Come on, clap like there's still preachers that preach the real gospel. Shout amen. Okay? Oh, you're such a hateful. No, I'm a loving preacher. And I love you enough to tell you what the Bible says. And that's why kids run to everything else, because they don't know what's your family identity. What's your family identity? What's your family? What kind of family is your family? What's your family banner? And the truth is, you can find out very easy. You can go ask your kids. You can ask them, what kind of family are we? Not today, though. It's Father's Day, okay? Have a good lunch. Yeah. Next week. Yeah. But you can ask them, hey, what kind of family are we? Because you're... And they'll say, we're an angry family. They'll tell you, what kind of family are we? You know, we're a yelling family. I feel like everyone's always yelling around here. We're a disconnected family. Hallelujah. But here's the good news. You can change that. You don't have to bow to that. Point number three, write this down. I close right here. A legacy father will raise his family banner. We'll pick it up and we'll raise a family banner. That's what a legacy father does. To say, I'm going to lift this up and I'm going to change it. Exodus, this is not in your notes, but Exodus 17:15. Moses did this. It was a time when they were, the book of Exodus, the book of get out of here, right? They're exiting. Moses, the Bible says, built a what? An altar. An altar is a place that alters your life. Today can be that altar moment where you decide, I'm gonna let this alter my life. He says, and he called it, what did he call it? The Lord is what? My banner. He says, starting today, the Lord's our banner. That's our family. So what does it mean to raise a banner? Years ago, I'd say about maybe 7 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, I decided to make for our family was called the Silva Family Values. It was what our family valued. And I told my kids that if they could memorize it and say it whenever I asked them, that I would give them, you know, $5, $10. They're not making a lot of money. And so, told you, discipleship. But there were 7 family values, and I'm thinking about adding some more because I was going over them. You know, of course, for Christmas, I'm like, it's probably going to be like 30 by the time they're 18. But anyway, you know, we're going to have to add that one and that one and that one and probably that one, okay? But it's, I put some value. I said, these are the Silva family values. This is what we value, this home, this house, you know? And I will say, if your kids are still at home, what I'm teaching you is a little bit easier. They're out of the house. It might be some work, but God can do the impossible. Amen. Come on, how many believe God can do the impossible? Amen, okay. So don't give up, dads. Don't give up. Don't write it off. But I want to encourage you, I want to give you practical help. I encourage you to write your family values because you're going to raise your banner. What does your family live up under? What are your values? What kind of family is your family? And so I wrote down, you know, I'll give you a few of ours. The top one for us was the Silvas serve God. Amen. We serve God. I didn't want to put the Silvas go to church because how many know you can go to church but not serve God? Yeah. Okay. So I put the Silvas serve God. That's number one. We serve the Lord. And that's a family value. That is our family value. Number two for me was the Silvas help people because we're called to make a difference in this world. The Silvas, we don't live for ourselves. We're called to help people. We serve. And we help people. So that's one of our family values. One of our third family value was the Silvas love the Word of God. I parent my kids through the Word of God. I don't say dad says, I say the Bible says. The Bible says, don't do that. The Bible says, God says, the Silvas, we love the Word of God. Because y'all know, you grew up, you didn't listen to your dad. You did, yeah, dad, yeah, whatever, dad. But you can't argue God. Yeah. So I parent you through God's Word. You see what I'm saying? So parent your kids through God's Word. You know, the Bible says, right, whenever they go through a situation, the Silvas love the Word of God. The fourth one I love, this is one of my favorites for the Silvas. You can rip off any of ours if you want. Go ahead, be like, it's not, you know, this is not like copyright or anything, right? But the fourth one is the Silvas have an I can do attitude. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So the Silvas, we have an I can do attitude. We can do it. We can do it because God is with us. We have an I can do out of Philippians 4:13. And a few more. Well, I'll give you this next one. The Silvas for us, a value of ours is health. So the Silvas are healthy, you know, so we try to make sure we maintain our health. And because I believe in mind, body, soul, right? Your body's not healthy. God can't use you. So we promote health. Don't get me wrong. We have our piece of pie. And come on, somebody. As you can tell, amen. It's a struggle. Okay, but the Silvas are healthy, right? We're healthy. So those are things, and the rest you can add. But what I'm trying to say, this is who we are. This is who we are. Each family under their banner. 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 So when the time of war comes, we know where our banner is and what we rally around so that we know the legacy of blessing that we have. Why? Because we are legacy-minded men and women that are going to leave a blessing from generation to generation. Silvas love family. We say we always love family. We forgive each other. We're committed to one another. We need to do that in Jesus' name. Here's what I want to do. Let's bow our heads all across this room. Heavenly Father, in fact, why don't we all stand to our feet? Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. And here's what I want to do real quick is I want to pray for the dads. And Father, we pray for all the dads right now. Bless the dads, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In fact, here's what we're going to do. Let me call up all the dads. Don't worry, dads, I'm not gonna do nothing weird. Okay, I'm not gonna have you run around the church with the flag, but just come forward. All the dads, come on, clap for all the dads. Why don't you come to the altar, dads? Let's pray for all the dads. And come on. Yeah. Come. Let's go. Clap. Come on. See, sir. Bless you. Come on, somebody. Bless you guys. Come on. Clap for all these men. Come on. Clap for all these men. Good to see you, brother. Come on. Clap for all these guys. Bless you, sir. Come on. Bless you. For Jimmy. Come on, somebody. Come on. Clap for these men. These are regal men right here. Good to see you, bro. Come on. Clap for these men. Good to see you, brother. Come on. That's right. Bless you, man. Bless you. God bless you. And like I said, if your dad is up here, these are the one percenters right here. You guys are breaking statistics, the stereotype, you know. And I know, every guy up here, they already know where they need to get better, trust me. I don't have to tell them. They know. But let me tell you what every man needs. They need encouragement. Because the enemy discourages us all day long. The enemy tries to tell us we're not good enough, that we're not doing it. But I want to tell all you men, I'm proud of you. Listen to me. As a spiritual leader, I'm proud of you. Because you're here. You're still in the fight. You're still holding the banner. I know we're not perfect. Listen, none of us are perfect. We're all fighting the good fight of faith. But stay in the fight. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Would you stretch your hands for all the men? Just put your hands like this. Everybody, and if you're in the seats right now, stretch your hand forward up here. Maybe your dad's up here. Kids, if your dad's up here, pray for them. Ladies, if your husband's up here, pray for him. If your dad's not here, still pray for these men, because God is going to use these men to influence other men. Pray for these men to influence other men at their workplaces, their business places, their job places, the job site. Father, we pray strength to every man up here. Yeah, every father up here. God, give them a fresh portion, Lord. Give them a fresh portion, Lord. That God, you would strengthen them in this fight. That God, you would speak to them. That God, you would help them carry the weight that they carry of their children, of their marriage, God, of family, of God, extended family. God, I pray that these men would know that they're doing a great job. They're in the fight. And even as I say that, many of you are thinking of your failures or where you messed up. And some of you out there are saying, yeah, but nothing. There's great potential in every one of you up here. And I know what it feels like to say, man, I probably shouldn't have said that. I've been there where I said something I probably shouldn't have said, you know, to my family, or maybe acted in a way I probably shouldn't have acted. And all of us have those moments of humanity. Just give it to God and get back in the fight. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up like so many men have given up and are no longer in the fight. Don't be that statistic. You stay in that fight. It'll be the hardest fight you'll ever have, but it'll be the most rewarding one. Hold the banner. So Father, I pray for all these men up here. And God, I pray they leave today's service feeling encouraged and empowered. And Lord, I pray for all the children out there that, Lord, you would allow them to see with the same compassion of Jesus. Because there's no perfect kids, like I said, and there is no perfect wife. And so, Lord, I pray that every woman out there would understand that. I'm not permitting mistakes up here, but I'm just saying is we are all broken vessels, all of us. And the Bible says that we are to extend the same compassion, the same forgiveness that we receive in our hearts, Lord. And so, Father, I pray for healed families. I pray for healthy families. And I pray, God, for empowered families, Lord. Let miracles happen, strongholds be broken, and generational blessing happen after today. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, shout amen, 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 amen.